WB2YZX.
Hey, Charlie out there, calling in a WB2YZX. How's it going, Charlie?
Good evening, gentlemen, and good to hear you on air, Abe, and, not much new on this end. They're just finishing my dinner here, so I'm trying to eat quickly. I don't want to talk and eat at the same time. So, back to you, Lobo.
That'd be considered QRF instead of QRM? Must be considered QRF instead of QRM. Hey, Charlie, we've got Charlie, we've got Abe. And again, this is K2IRD, New York City Transit Amateur Radio Group. Meeting on the frequency every Thursday night, or just about every Thursday night from 8 to 9 o'clock, for a chat about anything that goes around the table. And once again, you don't have to be a member of Transit, just check in and be part of the group for tonight. Stand by, see if you have any additional check-ins before we continue. Again, this is the K2IRD. Sounds awful quiet out there tonight. I hope you have your air conditioning on, Charlie. I'm up here in my room here, trying my best to find a cool spot under the fan. 87 degrees, and I'm looking at 87.5, according to the official thermometer up here. Yeah, it's hot. Usually I turn the linear on at the top of the hour, but think a little differently. Those 811s get awful hot. Throw out enough heat to heat up the room in the winter. Don't need any additional heat. Oh, give it back to Abe. Give Charlie a chance to chew. It is KQR and the K2IRD.
Okay. If anybody would like to, before I hog it a little bit, I'd like to let it drop and see if anybody would like to join us. Hello, Charlie. One of these days we've got to get together again, and we'll go around. Just that, you know, I don't know if you were monitoring before. We started our little vacation in England. It rained for 5 days. I wanted to go to a flea market there, but things just did not work out, so we didn't go. And we ended up just, you know, if you like to travel, in England, and Europe basically, there's an airline called Ryanair. And Ryanair, my brother-in-law travels with them quite often. Every, like maybe twice a month or three times a month, he gets emails that Ryanair runs specials, like from England to Italy, or from England to a couple other locations, and they charge £1 if you do it in advance. £1 is the equivalent of $1.50 or $1.60, whatever the rate of exchange is. And so what he does, he usually does it on business. So what he does is he, in case things don't work out, he books like 3 seats for each day. So he has like a window of 3 or 4 days. So the whole thing might cost him maybe $50. Or if he can do it on the right day, it would only cost him for a pound. So he set this up for us, and we ended up going to, you know, to Italy for $1.50 there and back. Now, a little insight into Ryanair. Ryanair is an airline that prides itself of being on time. They only fly 737 stretch 400s. They're on time. It's a no-frills airline. The seats do not go back. There's advertisements on the overheads. The stewardess, there's no food. You can buy your food. They come around, buy your beer or whatever. The seats are very uncomfortable. And you, from one end of the airplane to the other, the seats are made for economy. And they're just a little bit closer together so they can put in an extra 2 rows in the front. Now, they also have, if you want to get in early, £5 more, you can get an early to get a seat. It's first come, first served. No reserved seats. Now, a little insight into the airplane itself. The pilots, for me, you know, I was telling my brother-in-law that for me, I'm not used to an airline like this. But for an hour and a half, I can live with it for a dollar and a half. But now these pilots pride themselves for being on time. Now you can imagine these guys take off like a fighter pilot. They have a very, very high rate of climb, and the attack angle is very high. So when you're going up exactly like a fighter jet, and you know, going very high, very fast. Also, they don't have, to be on time, they do not have a ramp. You go onto the air, on the tarmac, you go inside, and you walk up, they have, stairs to go onto the plane, WB2BQ-RID. And when they go exceptionally fast. When they taxi, we're used to taxi rather slowly. These guys must be, they're taxiing at the basic, whatever time they're allowed to and whatever speed they're allowed to. So these guys are flying. They're on time because these guys are, jockeys, man. They're flying cowboys with a flying greyhound. So you can pick it up, Lowry. They'll be to pick you up.
We were short the Ryanair when we were out in London. Unfortunately, we couldn't book them in advance. I was taking a ride at Stansted Airport, north of London, to Nuremberg, and I had to go with a Lufthansa flight. And I was going to try Ryanair just to see what it was like. But they stuck me on this little two-prop plane from Stansted going over to Nuremberg. And that one felt like you're in an old World War II fighter. I expected them to bomb Holland any moment. But Ryanair, one of the big places over there. They were in the news just a couple weeks ago that they actually wanted to charge people to use the bathroom. I can only imagine. Does anyone have to change in a situation? Let's give it up to Charlie. Why is it?
Hey, Charlie Texas, can I make one more comment?
Yes.
They told Boeing they want to configure one airplane for standing room only. So instead of sitting down, you can fit more people inside the plane by standing instead of sitting. Charlie, pick it up, WBTQR.
Standing on a plane. Okay. I mean, it's fine if you're a paratrooper or something, but, no, I don't think so. Now, I've never heard of Ryanair, tell you the truth, but, I haven't been overseas in quite some time, but, I've been to London a few times and been through the UK, and it really is a lot of fun. I've been to the UK three times, I think. I was in I went from Dublin to Scotland. I took a bus from Scotland all the way down to the countryside and spent the last 5 days in London. But the last time I was over there, I went from London to Amsterdam. And I guess Ryanair must be pretty new because I just haven't heard it. But standing on a plane, no, I don't think so. That doesn't sound like fun to me. I don't care what the price is. But I love to fly, but the only time I was nervous on a plane was just a quick flight from Dublin to Edinburgh, Scotland, on a B-111, whatever the heck that is. It was a tiny little thing, and I mean, I think the guy flying this was a cowboy, you know. It's just not what I was accustomed to, you know. But, hey, what the heck. Can't beat the price, though. I haven't taken a real vacation in a long time. In fact, my passport has expired, but down the road, I intend to do that. So, glad you had a good time, and There used to be a lot of good electronic stores in London and ham radio places. I don't know if there's any left, but last time I was there, it's kind of a tinker's paradise. Moby, over to you, W-H-O-A-X-Z, W-B-2-Y-Z-X.
Well, I'm here to see if anyone wanted to come in with us there. Just curious, Charlie, and the K2IRP group for that matter, where in London, because I was in London in 2001, that's where I saw the Ryanair, so they must have just started just right at the turn of the century there. But where were all these radio places in London?
There was a street called Edgware Road, and that was like the Cortlandt Street of London. Now, of course, I'm going back like 15 years, but you could get just about anything. And up in St. John's Wood, right back at the railroad station, was a ham radio place called Radio Shack, which is why you never saw any Radio Shacks in London. It was called Candy, I guess because somebody already had the name Radio Shack, and he guy had a lot of old stuff, new stuff, and whatever, and I understand it's not there anymore because I've spoken to a few guys in London since then. So I guess the guy retired and sold the business, but Edgware Road was the big street for goodies in London.
You can only imagine now, thanks to the internet and the new world of electronics, the yuppies probably moved in, gentrified the place, and
American Cemetery and paid our respects for to the veterans in Anzio. Didn't get a chance to go to the museum there, just to the cemetery. So we drove there from Anzio to Rome, and the place where the wedding was is on top of a hill. And it overlooked the entire Rome. We saw the Vatican, you saw the Colosseum, you saw the Forum. The most spectacular sight you've ever seen. And from there we just went back to Milan. From Milan we went back to England, and England we came back to here. And since we got back, I'm just putting everything back in the house. You know, things went bad, things went bad here. I had to fix this, I had to fix that. As I was there, I put in a couple of light fixtures for my brother-in-law, fixed some lights up there, and took care of a couple of little things here and there. So that was our story over there for the trip. It was very nice, and I suggest everybody do it. Another thing, Lauby, if you need or want any more of those masks, let me know, because I go to the Hamfest all the time. I see the guy, I can pick up some for you, and I can, you know, bring them back to Brooklyn and, you know, give them over to you if you're interested, if you said you needed a couple more.
Hey, we can always use a few more KC on RT here. So if you do that, you have to get about 8 or 10 of them. There's not too much to carry there. Definitely, you're bringing out the Hamels there, because you're always making little oddball antennas with Wally.
That's what's nice about those things. Also, what I told one of the guys to do, and he did it. He used one of the masts, and he used the mast as a coaxial section. On the inside, he put a wire all the way down to the bottom, and he put an SO239 on, used that to, you know, for the antenna, and then on the top, he just ran a dipole down. And he just tuned up on that, and that's the whole antenna.
Pretty good. How many sections on the dipole? What did you
do? Okay. Picture the mast sections. What he did was he used some... you make some dowel sections. Inside the center of the dowel, you put a piece of wire. That's the center of the coax. That goes inside the center of the mast. That goes all the way down to the bottom. On the top, the termination is just a wire as a dipole. The one end is, you know, from the one end goes to one piece of the wire section of the dipole. The center piece of the coax is the other. And you just terminate it, you know, into an inverted V, and you tune it up to whatever frequency you want. And you don't have any wires going to the top, because it's all going through the coaxial mast, which is actually a coaxial, you know, antenna.
That's got to be a nice quick setup there. I'm going to start thinking about that. Not that I'm getting like Wally trying to build antennas, but I'm always looking for little odds and ends, something different to play with. Good idea. And these are the fiberglass poles, not the aluminum ones.
Negative. These are the stainless steel. These are the aluminum poles, because you can't have a coaxial section with the fiberglass.
Definitely, we'll stop by and see, and we can always use more. We put them to good use every year.
Yes, and the nice part about it is that they break down very nice and easily, and, you know, it don't take up much room.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah, definitely. All right, Abe, hold on 1 second. Quarter after the hour. Let's see if anyone else wants to join us. This is the K2IRT group. Sort of hoping that Steve or Andy may have stopped in tonight, but being that it's so warm out, I think the guys may have just taken a break for a year tonight. We got K2IRT. We got KB2VEQ. How are you doing? Come on in.
Yes, thank
Thank you. I only got in just a couple of minutes and was listening to talk about the antennas and the steel pole for a little bit. And I think I heard something, I had the HT and I heard something about going to Germany or something like that. And so I hooked up my antenna and came in with you guys. And so I'll just let you know I'm here and I'll let it go around and I'll pick it up on the next time so I can join in on the flavor of activities. KB2BQ, back over to you, Lowry. WA2AXC is KB2BQ.
Hi, KB2VEQ and the KB2IRP bunch again. Yeah, definitely come around again there. Yeah, we're just having a general chat here. There's nothing out of the ordinary. Just taking it nice and easy. It's too hot on a summer evening to get into anything too deep other than antennas, travel, and good travel. So we'll get you around when the night comes around your way again. Let's give it back to Charlie. UB2YZX and the K2IRP.
Alright, WA2AXZ and the gang, WB2YZX, and good evening, Val. Good to hear you in there. And, hey, that's interesting information. You say you were born in Italy. How did that happen? I mean, I know how it happened, but what were your parents doing in Italy at the time?
Originally they were from Poland, and then during the war, after the war, they went to Italy and then they came to the States. There was like an interim part. They stayed there and then from there I got born. I was very young at the time. And then we came to the States. We lived in Williamsburg. I love that area. You know, now it's yuppie heaven. But that's the reason. I just remember being at the Duomo, which was the big cathedral there, and the street that we lived on was Via Fontana Orto, which is via, you know, number 8 over there, which is a couple of blocks from there, and my wife's cousin still lives there, and she works there.
Yeah, very good, very interesting. And by the way, your signal is way up. I don't know what you're using for an antenna these days, but it sounds really good now. So keep up the good work. Are you doing any? Are you operating any other bands these days?
I plan on putting an antenna up and doing some work on the low bands. I'd like to get back on 10. I'd like to get back on 10. Then one time I got enthused for listening to the satellites when I heard the space station. I got to get together with you maybe one day and we'll discuss your satellite stuff and your digital stuff. And it's enthuses me to get into different modes. I never got into digital, never got into it. And, maybe I'll try it. You know, you got the computers and everything else. So I would like to try it. But I got the equipment that. My biggest hassle is the antennas. And since I got back, I've just been, fixing some stuff around the house. I wish I was back on my vacation. It was easier.
Okay, very good. Yeah, we can get together one of these days. And, yeah, I love the digital mode, tell you the truth. In fact, the only time I really get on the microphone is when I'm talking to you guys or when I'm doing satellites. But most of the other times, it's either PSK, Olivia, or Riddy, or Pactor, or something like that. And, that's my thing. And as far as digital modes, they're really dirt cheap. So, that's good. And as far as antennas, well, hey, I'm just using dipoles in the attic, and I work the world with them. And 10 meters right now, you mentioned that. That's kind of dead. Well, was it? There was an opening yesterday. There was some sporadic on there yesterday, but today it was pretty dead. And by the end of the month, it'll be pretty dead again. So don't expect to find too much down there. I'm on 20 most of the time when I'm on HF. So that's the story there. So Back to you, Lobby.
All right, WB2YZX, K2IRD group. Well, I love listening to Abe talk, speak Italian with the Brooklyn accent. I think that's fantastic. just like, you know, us that foreigner there. But, I don't know, it's just beautiful. Everyone's got such a rich history behind them. Being ham radio or family, it's just amazing. Just amazing. I told you, when I went over to Germany, I went to my little town of Lobenstein. I went there in March of 2001, looking around, and it was amazing. I checked into the hotel, ran around town, and there wasn't one Lobenstein in Lobenstein. Apparently, in the 30s and 40s, we all up and ran to Hamburg, and that was the end of that. We had a good belly laugh. They're looking at me like, what's this guy doing here in the town? We have too many people that have blinders on and they don't go anywhere. Fortunately, I've known too many people at work and too many people when I was growing up in school. And if they left the city and took a side trip to New Jersey, that was a safari for them. But keep telling everybody there's a whole world out there. You know, run around America, run around Europe, just run around, get out and meet the people. And it'll lead to a better understanding of the world. So with that, let's see if Val is back with us yet. KB2VEQ. Come on in, Val. She's all yours. Someone tells me you lost Val. There I am. I'm doing this thing with the handout. Let's just see if Andrew or Steve are out there. I got an email from Steve, W2FDR. He had a choice of either being on the radio or having dinner in an air-conditioned location. Seeing that he's not here, I have a funny feeling he's having his air conditioned in it. But we'll see. W2FBR or KF2WR. You guys on the frequency listening? Yeah, it sounds awful lonely out there. Well, other than that, I see Wally and a couple of the guys were throwing out some emails up here about what we're going to do in September. And, on telling Wally and the rest of the gang, yeah, we'll have a face-to-face meeting in September. But right after which, we definitely have to get back out to Hammers again and start putting hands on. I'm not going to wait till the last minute again because we wear ourselves out every field day. And try to make it a little bit easier. Again, once I pack up and leave in January, I'll still be around. I'll still be running around at Livingston and through Broadway as well as the museum. So I'm not going to be too scared. So I'll be doing a couple of odds and ends in the museum and other places. Well, what else do we have? Let's give it back up to Abe. And if you guys get tired and you want to pack it in and go find a nice popsicle somewhere, hey, don't blame you in the least.
Well, WB2PQR, the K2IRT group. K2IRT group, WB2PQR, and the gang. Yeah, I'll hold it in there for a couple, a little bit longer. I'll give you one better. You know, we're talking about history, and, there's no one true American. It's a conglomeration of peoples. My wife is African, so she was born in Africa, so. But that's another story. But I think I'm going to end up, I'm going to go have my vodka, have a little bit of shot of vodka, put in one ice cube, and cool off in the other room. I just got the fan over here, and it's not doing too much. It's moving some hot air down. My antenna over here, I'm using your thing. I just got a dual-band antenna, and it's a Hustler antenna, and it's sitting before I had it on the steam radiator, now I just got it on the other location. Just put it up there for now. And you're coming in very good now, Charlie. You're unbelievably good. You're coming in before you were coming in on 450, I guess. Now you're coming in on 2, right?
No, I'm on the 440 side.
Ah, I tell you, I would never guess it was. You're really coming in gangbusters. You're full quieting, no noise at all on the signal. Trying to think of what other things we can talk about over here. But, I gotta get back on the 10 meters is nice. I'm usually on, what I do is, I'm not on sideband. I'm usually on 29.6. I like the FM part, 29.6. I like that. I got an old, converted GE radio, put that 60 watts. Got all the, frequencies from, 10-meter FM, and made some excellent contacts. In fact, I put it in the car for a couple of times, and I just run a little CB antenna, and it makes out like gangbusters, and it works beautiful.
I had some decent contacts on 29.6 FM. You get a few band openings, which, happens quite a bit this time of the year. I like to listen on there. I've worked as far as Georgia. And it's a lot of fun. I've even worked a couple of AM stations. There are a few guys that hang around that part around 29.1. So you can, if you got that, you can even do AM. And even on 2 meters, there's a bunch of guys around 144, 350 that operate AM, like the good old days.
Yeah, get your goody box out.
If I plug mine in, it'll smoke.
Boy, what a mistake that was.
The center of the place, nothing more. I can understand that. under the shake and take the food and put it on the shelf as a decoration.
Yes. Well, let me tell you a story about an 845 tube. Let me let it drop for a second. P2PQ offer ID. An 845 tube, I don't know if you're familiar with tubes. Think of it as a small Coca-Cola bottle. Configured as a tube. It's that size. Well, right now, those tubes, checked out good, a pair, go for about $1,200. The Asians buy them. Well, one of them, the filament went bad. You know, broke. What the guy physically did is he took the bottom base off on the side of the leads, took the base off, tapped it because it's not even a glue. It's some kind of mastic that they use and to connect it together. And he took that off. He literally heated up the bottom of the tube where it was open, opened it up, cut the bottom piece off. Then he got another one that the filament was good. Put that in, just switched them around, and re-annealed the thing. It left a little bit of an opening after it was annealed. And listen to this, what he did, all he did to get the suction in the vacuum, he sucked it out with his lungs. He sucked the air out all the way, put his thumb over it, then somehow, I don't know how, he re-annealed it, gave it power, and the tube worked fine, and he ended up sending it to Japan.
I was going to say something about this guy's powers with trucking, but I'll be polite, KTIFST. Yeah, anything is possible. I've got a couple of tubes that are held together with nuts and bolts on the inside, so, hey, it was put together by a human, take it apart, rebuild it, put it back together again. Why not?
That is true. All right, I think I'm going to pack it in now, and I'll try and get on more often and do the rag chews. I enjoy the rag chewing. So, Charlie, you can take it. I'll be here for the finals. WB2PQR will be QRT after the final.
Okay, guys, and while we're on the subject of tubes, both of you guys are familiar with six-wire boxes, which we use extensively in the TA. And one of my responsibilities is I have the whole storeroom for my division, which is over at J Street these days. And at any rate, I had an old six-wire box that used a single 12AX7 in a wooden cabinet. And one of my guys threw it out. I said, where is it? What happened to this? He says, oh, it was old. I was going to kill him. But I don't know if the only one left, but I was guarding that thing, and he saw it. I told him the guys to, clean up a bit, and he went crazy, but he threw that thing out. And actually, 12AX7 still have a commodity number in TA stores, but there are none left in there. Back to you, Roby.
Yeah, I can imagine. The whole world was vacuum tubes in the 20s, 30s, up to the 60s when they started with those little strange-looking transistors. But we're going to have vacuum tubes and ham radio for many, many years to come. I've got an 811 tube that went bad, and I changed it on the amplifier a couple of years ago. And I took the tube and stuck it up on the shelf, and I don't know what happened. A bus must have gone by. It must have tipped over. And you look at it, and it looks like someone took a hammer to the shell, the plate. Everything is tilted to one side. I should bring it in for show and tell at our next meeting. And I just keep it up on there to show you what can really go wrong if the tube ever drops. So. Yeah, I know what you mean, Charlie, with the guarding antiques. You've seen the little email I'm sending back and forth to the gang on that old 1879 Thomas Edison machine I'm building, rebuilding. funny thing happens today. I'm out at Victon Yard and I'm putting a little more time into the machine. And I get a phone call from the demolition engineer at the old powerhouse in Kent Avenue, Brooklyn. And what happened was Con Edison bought our TA power plants in 59 and they started using Kent Avenue as storage. So they put these old Thomas Edison machines in there and they just collected dust for it. 50-some-odd years. Well, I got one of those machines and put it in the picking yard, and as the gang has been seeing, I'm slowly rebuilding it piece by piece. But the fella called me up and he said, Bob, I've got another machine for you. We're in the final process of demo and we want to know if you want it. And I says, not the big one. He says, yeah, the big one. And this was a machine that was at Tom Edison's Pearl Street Station. It dates back to the 1880s and it's a historic piece of equipment. Con Edison was supposed to take it. For some reason, the Learning Center doesn't want it. So you know who's going to be there tomorrow with a big, humongous truck to take it away? WB2YZX and the K2IRT group.
Very good. Let me see if Abe wants to take it for a second first. You still there, Abe?
Still here. And I'm just gonna make one more comment, that's it. I have Radio Shack lifetime 12AX7 tubes that they guarantee it for life. But I've used it once. I took it on the box, I took it into Radio Shack, and I say, this 12AX7 is so good, I want another one. And they honored it.
How long do you have to wait for them to find one?
You'd be surprised how what they do, that a Radio Shack model, is that they're still, the Softax still makes them. The Soviet Union still makes those tubes. It's on there. And it's a lifetime guarantee. You can't get American made, but they honored the thing with another Soviet tube.
Surprised they knew what it was.
Had no choice. There's no expiration date on that. It says a lifetime of the tube, and we'll replace it. And they did. The catch is that you have to have it with the box. Because the box says lifetime.
And now the radio only gets the broadcast from Radio Moscow.
Yeah, that's interesting. That Edison stuff, does he have all the any Western Electric stuff in there?
Don't know. Western Electric used to make our power controls for the original IND in 1932. I moved a lot of that stuff into the Transit Museum. Earlier stuff than that, I'd have to take a good look.
Yeah, because that's interesting stuff, too, the Western Electric stuff.
Any of the old stuff is interesting. You know, once you have an appreciation for what it was and what it did, you can understand that there wasn't anything before that. That was the first. So, you marvel at the way these things are put together and what these guys were thinking when they put these inventions together.
Yes. There's other interesting things, too, that, I don't know if you've looked at any military radios, the R390.
What's the name?
390. It was made by Collins. The thing weighs about 150 pounds. And what it is a mechanical nightmare if you have to fix it. But they've got permeability tuned coils that when you tune the front, you see these coils going up and down inside the RF stages, like in about four or five different rows. When you turn the thing, it's just unbelievable. If you're into mechanics, and that is like the ultimate. All right, I think that's it. I will catch you guys down the log. I get a little something to eat now, so
WB2PQRBQRT. A gentleman, very nice QSO, and we definitely got to do it again.
Definitely. And what we got to do is get you guys with the hamstrings somewhere and get you on 160 and 40. You know, love the red shoes on there. I got 160 on right now in the background, and my guys are going a mile a minute. With all this crazy static and lightning, it's pretty strong out there. Hey, hey, you take care. Welcome back to the green shores of America. And go get yourself something cool on. WB2PQR and the K2IRT group. Just to see a Val came back. KB2VEQ Val, did you come back?
Do that. I'm back. I just had to step away for a minute. I had a new alarm system put in, and my wife wanted to demonstrate it for me, so I had to go, you know. But I'm back in here. I got a chance to hear pretty much everything that was going on, and about the radios. But I did want to ask you something, because next week I'll be going down to HRO down in Delaware, and I wanted to get the number that kit for that microphone conversion for the IC-746 Pro. I can call you later on it.
Yeah, it's just the Heil G104 conversion kit. It comes with the HC-5 microphone element. It's a tiny little thing the size of your pinky fingernail. That's the whole microphone element. And a matching transformer if you're using lion beats or lone beats. And a blocking capacitor. You gotta be careful on the ICOM rig. We've got an 8-volt supply coming through the mic wires. And you can't connect any microphone directly into that unless it has this blocking cap. So it's the, what was it, the HC-104. Just tell the guy it's the Heil microphone conversion kit, and you should have it there. It's anywhere between $75-$80 now.
C-104, roger.
If you want to give you the actual number, I just have to dig up the instructions.
What was the last one?
If you pick it up with Charlie for about a minute and a half, I've got the instruction sheet. I'll tell you exactly what it is, and this way you can go down there knowing what it is.
Oh, roger. It'll be a pleasure to talk to my friend Charlie for a few minutes. Hi, Charlie. How the heck are you?
So, Val, life is good. And while we're on the subject of tubes here, I'm holding a tube in my hand. I'm looking for the number here. I need a 6DE7. Now, this is in the junk drawer in my kitchen. You know, every kitchen has a junk drawer. At least I do, anyway. And I have several tubes in there. Now, these are things I found when my father passed away. I cleaned out his apartment. Now, what he was doing with tubes is beyond me anyway. And why he hold on to these things all these years, I don't know. But that also begs the question, why the heck am I holding on to these stupid things, too? I guess maybe because, you know, this somehow is my link with the past. I don't know. But I'm holding in my hand a 6DE7, and I'm tempted to hook up the filaments to 6 volts just to see, just to make it glow or do something. I don't really don't know what a 6DE7 used to do anyway, but I have no doubt that Abe does. He's got more memory. He's got the entire RCA receiving tube manual memorized. I know that for a fact. But I don't know. I still think they're cool. What are you going to do? Back to you, Val.
Yeah, Val, the very first one, it was only $59.
A couple of tubes.
It's doubled. You doubled with value, take it. relatively small tubes, and I think most of the ham radio tubes are pretty big. I know on the amplifiers, they're pretty big, so I don't know about the old reeds. They were probably a combination of large and small, but, you know, they're all electronic now, so, you know, we don't need them, but I guess we can hold on to them from the Southwest prison. Over. W2AAC, KB2VEQ.
I don't know where Charlie went. It's a little confusing how he is tonight. Yeah, as I said before, CHC-104, the Harry Charlie 104, C-104 conversion kit. I just checked the bill. And the first one I bought was only $59, so I can only imagine the price went up.
Yeah, I'm sure. And then we'll work on the connection. We get the crystal, I guess they call it a crystal in there, right?
Crystal summer electric, I'd have to take a look and see. But the element that's in there is the same element that's in the gold line. And I can't tell them apart. I've got three Heil mics here. I've got the two D104s converted, and I've got the D104 converted at work. And I don't have a problem with it at all. Straight right into the amp, right into the radio, it works fine. And it gives you nice, clear audio. You'd be surprised. You'd be very happy when you do it.
That's great. Looking forward to it. Yeah, I plan on stopping in there either before I drop my daughter off or on the way back. And probably before I go there, I'll know it's daylight and I can do it rather than coming back Sunday and they'll probably be closed. So I'll stop in there and try to get some quick goodies and get out and take it with me.
Just remember, down the block from there, before you get on that Route 95 head north, you'll find a really, really big Harley-Davidson dealer and a really, really big Harley-Davidson diner. Andy told me about this a while back, and I went into the place there. He talked about good food, good chili. And of course, you're surrounded by all the Harleys from the 10th century on up. So if you have to do, have a few minutes, we'll pop in there and then go back to the home studio. This is the K2RS.
I was down at West 4th today, and right at the, I guess it would be the south end of the station, there's a motorcycle. Paraphernalia, he's got a couple of motorcycles, and it's like a bar, and a lot of motorcycle clothing in there. I forgot the name of it right now. I don't know. It was something with the motorcycles anyway, and that was cool. I went to OSHA 10 class, 10-hour OSHA class today.
We're down at West 4th. Well, definitely. Go have fun. When you go to HRO, you're just like the rest of us. You'll sit and drool at all the goodies that they have there. And they definitely have a lot of goodies. Let's give it up to Charlie one more time, and then we're going to put a nail in the lid here and get another long day tomorrow there. WB2YZX, you got the K2IRT group.